love is gentle, faithful, swift, passionate, blind, and wondrous. All these are faces of love. In a moment, young Kate Wakefield, venturing into today's world of confusing freedoms, brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant.
Studio Club. Who? Mrs. Wakefield? Yeah, she lives here, I think. No, I don't. I just answered the phone. Yeah, I see your name. You want to leave a message? Right. Yeah, got it. Okay, bye-bye.
Hey, Judy.
Hello, Jack.
Hey, what are you doing behind the desk?
Answering the phone. Somebody's got to.
Oh, they usually count on Jeff to paddle through the lobby.
Yeah, I haven't seen him.
Well, he's probably over rehearsing. Give that boy a concert and he comes to life.
Oh, no, Trudy, his concert's been canceled.
You mean the Saturday night one?
Yep, Jeff Clark and the Trolley Line canceled. Well, look, it's right up here on the board.
Oh, how do you like that? Hey, I wonder if he's all right.
Well, he would have to be dead not to play his guitar. I don't think he's around.
Well, I'll just go on up and knock on his door. Oh, he doesn't call me Good Earth Mother for nothing. Hey, by the way, Jack, have you seen Kate?
Kate?
Kate Wakefield. You know.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't know her. I know Jeff talks about her. In fact, I just took a phone message for her.
Ah, then she hasn't come in. Well, right on. I'll go up and see what's with our problem, boy.
Rudy.
Oh, hello, Kate. I didn't think you were home yet.
I've been down in the basement ironing.
Oh, say, that's good looking.
Like it? It's new.
Oh.
I've got a big weekend coming up. Trudy, I want to tell you all about it.
Oh, boy, if I could get into a long black number like that.
I haven't had a real dinner dress in years.
Oh, this I gotta hear about. Hey, I want to knock on Jeff's door first, though.
I don't think he's there. I haven't heard his guitar.
Well, I think I'll just have a look.
Is anything wrong?
Well, no, it's just that nobody's seen him for about 3 days. Have you?
Now that I think about it, no.
Well, I'll hang that glamour job up and come on with me.
Right.
You know, Kate, I was really worried when I first heard Jeff was right down the hall from you.
I wasn't. I know something about boys like Jeff. You have to believe in them. Nobody's there.
I'm going in.
I'll get the key.
No, Jeff never locked a door in his life. Well.
Oh. He's cleared out.
Yeah, but not for good. Look at the wall. 4-inch letters.
Friends, sponsors, and rent collectors, I'll be back when the light returns. What does that mean?
Oh, I don't want to guess. Come on, Kate. Let's get out of here.
And he left it neat as a pin.
Well, don't worry about it. Come on, tell me about your
weekend. But I do worry about Jeff.
Oh, save it until he comes back.
Do you think he'll come back?
Well, don't you?
Yes, I do. Oh, Trudy, I wish somebody could reach him. Give him the sense of direction he needs.
Somebody could.
You mean me, don't you?
Well, Kate, isn't this what your husband went through?
Do you think I forget that for one instant? Every time I see Jeff, he reminds me of...
Oh, come on. Let's see the new dress. Where are you going to wear it?
Oh, you'll never believe it.
Oh, I hope it's a big, fancy bash.
Fancier than I'd like. Remember that note I got from a Holly Benson?
Yeah?
I met her, and she asked me to come up to their country place for the weekend.
Oh?
For their anniversary party.
Uh-huh. The party you turned down with Tony?
I changed my mind after Holly invited me.
Yeah, good for you.
Do you really think so?
I've learned my lesson about married men. The woods are full of those eager beavers taking a fast nibble and hurrying home to their safe little ponds. Well, maybe Tony's the exception.
You have to believe in something.
Yeah, sure you do.
I'm not committed. But I'm not just going to let everything go by default.
Come in.
Still here at the office, Tony?
Oh, come in, Holly. Couldn't you find anybody to announce you?
Not at this hour, but I'm not the helpless type. Time too quick, Tony.
Yes, I know.
It's a nice cozy office with the curtains drawn, but I hope you don't spend too much time here alone.
I like it better than my own digging.
Come and have dinner with Ned and me.
No, no, thanks, Holly. I've put through a call to Kate.
I had lunch with her today.
Yeah, she told me.
Tony, I like her.
I knew you would.
She's honest, she's not on the make, and she's pretty susceptible to you, Tony.
Well, that's getting a lot for one lunch.
Oh, that's not all. She's coming up to Stone Ledge as our guest for the weekend.
You're kidding.
Nope, I invited her. She thought it over. She said yes.
I'll be damned. Look, I'll drive you both up.
Oh, there you go, Tony. Ruining everything.
What do you mean?
Take it easy. Don't push.
Push? What's wrong with driving her up?
The other girls you've known were all dying to be seen with Tony Cushing. Now, I know. I remember those entrances. Well, that's what Kate doesn't want. She doesn't want to be paraded.
Okay, okay.
Now, leave it to me, will you?
I'd like to leave the whole mess to you. I had lunch with Claire.
Oh, good or bad?
Just what I thought. She had talked to her lawyer. You know who it was?
Steve Wolf? Mm-hmm. Well, he can't do anything for her. He's disbarred.
But he can advise her. And, brother, he did.
Like what?
Claire told me over the third martini. He not only advised her, but she's taking his advice.
Oh, well, what is it?
That all she has to do is sit tight, let me pay the bills, and dangle. That I can't touch her for a divorce. No grounds.
Oh, Tony, you have grounds.
Well, so has she. Stalemate.
Oh, that's rotten.
Steve's smart, but he hasn't been given the word. Not the last one. Well, Holly, you've arranged a great weekend, and that's as far as I'm going to think right now. I'm going up to that hippie hangout Kate calls home and see her. Now, that's permitted, isn't it? A nice walk along the river?
Oh, drop me off on your way uptown, Tony. I feel like a prom chaperone.
Tony, I didn't get any phone message.
I know. Somebody runs up a tree and hides them for winter. Anyway, thanks for coming out with me on such short notice.
I love it. You saved me from an evening with the ironing board.
Some competition. Have you had dinner?
Not yet.
Neither have I. Where would you like to go?
Nothing fancy, Tony. Not tonight.
Good. Me too.
Tony, have you talked to Holly Benson?
Yep. I'm tickled to death.
I must seem terribly changeable.
Now, you don't really believe that. No, you're just learning to face the central issue.
Which is? What?
Us.
Baby. When Holly invited me as her house guest for the weekend, it just made sense. When I'm with you, I'm not so sure.
Well, maybe that's all part of it. But we're going to take our time, Kate, and work out of this.
Are we?
I'm going to do everything I can. There's got to be justice somewhere.
Tony, I know so little about your past life. Weren't you in love with your wife once?
Oh, when I was young, we worked in the same office for the same boss, you, Fletcher. She was his secretary. I was learning the business. She helped me a lot. We got married.
Children?
No, no.
You just didn't get along.
And we were both ambitious. That got in the way, I suppose, but you'd have to know Claire. She could be a brilliant woman. She threw it away. She's always after bigger game, after something that doesn't exist, I don't think.
Thanks for talking about her.
Yes. Kate, I've got a great idea.
Mm-hmm.
Now, we'll both be at the Bensons this weekend. Big party, lots of people. Let's pretend we're meeting for the first time. It'll be like beginning over.
Wouldn't it be fun?
It might be more than fun. It might give us our first real chance. Did you know that a 1.5-ounce bottle of Ban Roll-On antiperspirant costs about the same, yet lasts longer than most 5 or 6-ounce sprays? Listen to this. Averaging 2 seconds of spray per application each side each day, the longest lasting of the leading antiperspirant sprays gives you 37 days of protection. On the average, Ban Roll-On will give you 51 days. That's 38% longer. And tests have shown that Ban Roll-On will help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Ban Roll-On, so economical yet so effective.
As anyone knows, hair is only as beautiful as the condition it's in. Natural Wear Miss Clairol shampoo formula conditions while it colors, makes your hair healthy looking and manageable while it adds natural glowing color that covers gray. And it's so easy to use. Just shampoo it in for fresh young color that stays color true week after week. For conditioning hair color, the best it can be, at any price, Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be.
Faces of Love has been brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Clairol, to know you're the best you can be. Comes to you from the Radio Playhouse. The Author Studio presents the radio dramatization of William Makepeace Thackeray's classic novel, Vanity Fair, the story of the clever and charming adventuress, Becky Sharp. In a moment, our author, Mr. Thackeray. The Author Studio is brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray, gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
Ladies, gentlemen, children, pets, whoever listens to my outpourings, I am author of this narrative, William Makepeace Thackeray, and if truth were told, weary of it. My characters are too wayward, my plot too complicated, and my patience too put upon. Mr. Charles Dickens would have me believe he writes his books with revolting fluency, sits primly at his desk, flower in buttonhole, pen in hand, and composes novels as easily as a list for the greengrocer. I pace more than sit, curse more than compose, and waste my time with this sort of futile complaint. So, to work. I've forgotten what number. No matter. Its title is... I don't know. I do know my heroine has in no wise behaved like a heroine. Oh, yes. She rode a stallion when she knew not how to ride more than a pony, and must, I suppose, be admired for it. But has she not lost far more than she gained? Hear her now. Prone on her bed, tell it to her maid.
Oh, Giles, Captain Rawdon would not speak to me one word except to say I lied to him.
And so you did, Miss Becky.
Didn't. Did not.
You said you'd rode them he-horses before.
Stallions. I said I'd ridden a stallion, and I had.
No, ma'am, you hadn't. Not like Mr. Rawdon meant.
It wasn't a lie all the same. I rode with him.
Him holding you in his arms, that ain't riding.
Well, what is it then? Was I walking? Was I in a carriage?
It was a black lie, and you know it. I don't wonder Mr. Rawdon walked straight away from you and that black horse and your black lie.
Oh, Giles, his cold, cold voice. I bid you good morning, Miss Sharp. And turned and went. Oh, what am I to do?
Well, you'd best go to him quick and try to set things straight.
I can't go to him. You know I can't. It's certain Miss Crawley would see us and see me cry, and instead of all set straight, all would be worse.
Send me with a message, then.
Oh, what good will that do? Miss Becky says she's sorry.
Write a note.
Darling Rawdon, I'm sorry. Please forgive me. I'll never do it again. But I will do it again. I want to.
Oh, for shame, Miss Becky. Want to tell black lies to your own true love?
No. Ride Hector again.
Oh.
Oh, Giles, it was beautiful. Like the wind he went and he didn't throw me. Obeyed me. And it was like I was one with the horse.
Oh, I wish I could have seen.
And when he reared, I made him do it. I knew how. Captain Rawdon said, don't pull hard on the reins and put your heels hard to his flank, or he'll rear like a circus horse. So I did that. And he did that. Up on his hind legs, his front legs pawing the air, and I didn't fall.
Oh, you might have been killed
dead. Oh, and then I gentled him. We knew each other, Hector and I. I loved him, and he knew it, and he loved me. I thought Rawdon would be proud of me. I thought he... He wasn't. Not one single bit. And I don't know if I can love a man or want a man who isn't proud of courage.
Oh, don't say that, Miss Becky.
No, I'm not sure at all. This changes everything. It does. If Captain Rawdon Crawley wants a mincing, prunes and prism lover, priggish, weak thing of a girl, then let him find another. Well, that's not me. And never will be.
You don't mean that, miss. Find another girl.
I do, I do, I do. And it's best we both found each other out soon instead of late.
It ain't fair.
Well, that's what I'm saying. He should have been proud of me.
I mean, it wasn't fair for you to pull hard on Mr. Rawdon's reins and dig your heels hard into him and make him rear on his hind legs. For that's what you did, Miss Becky, when you told that terrible lie.
Oh, lie, fiddlesticks. It was a jest. Supposed to make him laugh. Laugh, ha, ha. I bid you good morning, Miss Sharp.
Now, miss, you listen for once. You made a fool of Mr. Rawdon. And gentlemen don't like one bit to be made fool.
No, he did that for himself. I didn't do it.
You did, you did. Now, mark me, Miss Becky. You may be sure Simon carried the tale. Right this minute, below stairs, they're laughing and snickering. It'll be clear to Mudbury before the day's out. How Miss Rebecca Sharp made a proper fool of Mr. Rawdon Crawley. Is that what you want to do with him you love?
I'm not sure I do love him now.
Then you didn't love him before.
Oh, you take his side. Why don't you say he didn't love me before? If he could be, I bid you good morning now.
Oh, well, come to think on it, I do say that to you both. Between you is nothing at all but kisses and vows you didn't mean.
No, 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 it was more. It was. But I loved that other man, not that one today. Oh, Giles, what's happening is past bearing. No, I won't see anyone. Miss Crawley or Sir Peter or anyone. Say I'm lying down with a terrible headache, and that's no lie. I have.
Yes, miss.
And you don't need to mention my terrible heartache. Close the bedroom door before you open the other one.
I will. Oh, Mr. Rawdon, sir.
Is she here, child?
Oh, yes, sir. She's lying down with a terrible ache where she sat upon that horse.
Ladies, gentlemen, I dare say Mr. Dickens, with no trouble at all, could resolve this deplorable tangle. For my part, I must pause and weigh and consider. You, my dear listeners, must wait.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Used as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Nah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
This is what aerosol hairspray sounds like. This is what Final Net sounds like. The big difference in the way they sound is the big difference in the way they work. Final Net is not an aerosol. It's concentrated to give you a great long-lasting hold. There are no wasteful propellants. That makes it economical, too. 8 ounces of Final Net go as far as 24 ounces of aerosol hairspray. You get a great hold at a great price. Final Net, the first sensible alternative to aerosol hairspray.
Captain Rawdon Crawley has been invited to step into Miss Sharp's small sitting room. Miss Sharp has emerged from her large bedroom. Giles has been banished to the bedchamber, the door firmly closed. No, not firmly. She has left it open a crack and will, like any respectable servant, eavesdrop. Becky looks up at Rawdon's considerable height. Rawdon looks down at Becky's inconsiderable smallness, and there stands between them a hideous silence. Come, speak, one of you. Ah, well, bless my soul, no need to speak. The gentleman has gathered a lady in a crushing embrace. Dear listeners, we must wait again until... he is releasing her. May heaven grant words will not ruin what silence has healed.
Why did you kiss me, sir?
What?
I thought you hated me.
Hated you?
You wouldn't speak to me.
I couldn't.
You stalked away.
I had to.
Why couldn't you? Why had you to?
You don't know?
I do know. Because I told you a wretched lie. Because I rode Hector. Because I'm a fool.
By all the gods, Becky, no.
Then why?
Because I was proud to bursting the way you rode Hector. To stay 1 minute more, Papa there, Simon there, would be to give all away. Dared not even help you dismount, or I'd keep you in my arms and tell all the world I love you. All I could say, all I dared say was, I bid you good morning.
Oh, and I thought... Oh, my dearest, you don't want prunes and prisms.
Want what?
You love me as I am. You don't want to change me.
Change you? Dad, no.
Oh, my darling, take care. I am how I am and won't change. I do and say and am terrible things sometimes. Know it now. Be warned now before it's too late. Becky Sharp is Becky Sharp and ever will be.
My dear one, have I your promise upon that?
Oh, I fear you have.
Then you have mine. I will always love this Becky and no other, and will never let you go.
You are my only love. I'll never want to go.
Then come back to my arms where you belong.
Ah, mine. Oh, Miss Becky, tis beautiful. Giles!
Giles is right. Tis beautiful.
Sweet, sweet visions, foolish, foolish dreams. Dear listeners, should you object to such sentimental profusion, let me remind you that we live in an age where such an effusion is a matter almost of law. But Becky has sounded a warning Rawdon would do well to heed. As a novelist, I can peer into the future, and I know. And as novelist, I am your faithful servant, William Makepeace Thackeray.
We've got a fully automatic kitchen. Me. And the worst job I've got to do is scrape and scrub that dirty oven.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Promises, promises.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night, and while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
That's a good idea.
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
You know, I've got a feeling that Mr. Muscle's going to be a good man to wake up to.
I sweep my floor and I still hear sugar underfoot. I hate that straw broom.
That's the kind of dirt straw brooms miss. But an Oseeder angler broom would get it. Angler bristles are cut on an angle to keep more tips on the floor, and the tips are closer together. Oseeder angler gets the dirt other brooms miss.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
What do you hear from your floor?
Not a sound.
Oseeder makes your life easier.
The Author Studio has been brought to you by Mr. Muscle, the oven cleaner that works the easy overnight way. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
It's not nice to eavesdrop, but it's fun. So let's check in on the comedy of errors at the Baxters. On the Little Things in Life. Brought to you by Natural Wear Miss Claro. To know you're the best you can be.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Who said that? Or what is it from? Seven letters.
Oh, you and your crossword puzzle. That's awfully long, isn't it, for a crossword?
Seven letters? No, no.
No, no, no. A quotation that long.
The theme is poets and authors.
Oh, I see.
It was the best of times, it was the worst of times. Sounds like the 20s. F. Scott Fitzgerald, you think?
I thought you said seven letters.
Oh, yeah.
Fitzgerald. Let me think. It was the best of times. It was the worst of times. It was the age of wisdom. It was the age of foolishness. Forget the rest of it.
I don't need the rest of it. I just want the author. Seven letters.
Dickens. Charles Dickens, Tale of Two Cities.
You sure?
Well, Dickens is seven letters. Is it fifth?
Let me see. Well, who said a little learning is a dangerous thing? Wasn't that Shakespeare? Oh, no, it's only four letters.
Alexander Pope. From his Essay on Criticism, 1688 to 1744.
Oh, I'm certainly glad I married an English major.
You know, when I think of how hard I studied, all the tests I crammed for, all the endless term papers that I wrote. Honestly, so what? All that knowledge is good for is helping my husband do crossword puzzles.
Well, don't complain. At least it's good for something. When I think of the frogs I cut up in zoology, the hours I spent memorizing the different parts of an earthworm or butterflies, certainly doing me a lot of good now. What are you looking for?
Our Bartlett's quotations. I always keep it right here on this shelf in the bookcase.
It's not there. I was looking for it the other day.
Somebody borrowed it.
Who?
I'm trying to remember. I'll bet it was Evie. She's always borrowing a book and promises faithfully return it. Then I never see it again unless I ask for it. And then she gets very annoyed.
Yeah, typical.
Why do people get annoyed when you ask them to return something they borrowed?
I don't know. I just said it was typical.
I know she's the one who borrowed it. She was having an argument with Fred over some quotation, some poem. Yes. Yes, weeks ago. Way last spring, so it was months ago.
The curfew tolls the knell of parting day. Four letters.
Oh, no. I'm Gray. Thomas Gray. Elegy in a Country Churchyard. Don't you remember Evie called us at midnight one night and woke us both up? She and Fred had gone to bed, too, and they'd gotten to arguing about some poem. What was it?
Well, they're always arguing about something.
Oh, both of them got so furious. I got up and had to come downstairs and get the Bartlett's quotations.
You mean it was something you didn't know, the poem?
No, I think I knew what it was, but Fred wouldn't believe me. And Evie tromped over here at midnight to borrow the book and prove to Fred that he was wrong.
You know, Evie would be a lot better off if just once she'd let Fred be right.
Well, anyhow, she borrowed the book. I know she didn't. I'll bring it right back tomorrow, she said. And that was months ago. Gee, that makes me mad.
Well, okay, okay. It's no big deal.
Well, it's my book. People don't return books shortly after they finish with them, then they forget entirely. And then you forget who you gave it to, so the book is gone forever.
Don't get so upset about it.
Well,
just call Evie up and remind her.
I think I will.
Well, go ahead.
And Elaine borrowed a book a couple of weeks ago. What was that?
When you lend books to people, why don't you write it down? Have a little notebook in the desk so you can keep track.
Yeah, well, I mean to, but I always think, well, I'll remember they borrowed it, I guess. Yeah.
Stone walls do not a prison make, nor iron bars a cage.
Oh,
eight letters.
Yeah, Lovelace. Richard Lovelace. And when Jean O'Brien was here, John borrowed two books, that paperback one, the White House transcripts, and another. That big book. That art book, The Treasures in the Hermitage, somebody gave us, remember? They were going to bring them right back.
Well, get on the phone and start rounding up all the books our friends have borrowed.
No, I think I will. I'll start with Evie. What'll I say?
What do you mean? What'll you say? Just ask her to return our Bartlett's quotations.
Well, she certainly had it long enough.
Well, now, look, don't be unpleasant about it. They're our next-door neighbors. You know how touchy they both are.
Well, I know, but just the same. You know something? Evie also has my Tolstoy's War and Peace. She's never returned that. That must have been a year ago.
How would it take you that long to read it?
Well, it makes me so mad.
No?
Oh, hi, Evie.
Hi.
Listen, Bob's doing a crossword puzzle on poets and authors, and we're stuck on some quotations.
Oh, yeah? What are you stuck on?
Well, several things. But, I mean, the point is, I was wondering if you're through with our Bartlett's quotations that you borrowed months ago.
I returned it months ago.
Well, Evie, I don't have it. I haven't seen it since you took it.
Well, I'm sure I returned it the very next day. In fact, I know I did. I remember coming over, and I put it on the hall table.
Well, I don't have it.
But I...
Anyhow, you couldn't have returned it the next day, Evie. You and Fred left the next day for your visit to see Fred's folks. It was their anniversary or something.
But I remember...
Oh, and since we're talking about books, you also still have my Tolstoy's War and Peace. I mean, I don't mind, Evie, you know, but if you know...
Well,
you're,
as you say, since we're talking about books... What about our atlas?
What atlas?
Our world atlas. Bob came over and borrowed that so far back I can't even remember. And Fred asked me the other day if you'd ever brought it back.
Why would we borrow your world atlas when we have a perfectly good world atlas of our own? Hold on. Did you ever go over to Evie's and borrow their world atlas?
No. Why would I? We've got our own.
No, that's just what I said. Evie,
mm-hmm.
It must have been somebody else who borrowed your atlas, but I will, of course, check all my bookcases to make sure we don't have it. In the meantime, perhaps you could look around for my Bartlett's quotations.
I know I returned that.
Well,
But I do have War and Peace, which I will bring back at once, as soon as I finish the dinner dishes.
Oh, it doesn't have to be tonight,
Evie. I'll bring it back tonight, and I'm so sorry I kept it so long. In the meantime, you might look for our atlas, all right?
Look, Evie...
See you later.
Well, she's mad. Well, I don't care. I'm just tired of people who borrow books and don't return them. One thing I can say for myself, whatever other faults I have, I do not borrow books and keep them.
What are you doing?
I'm making a list of people who borrowed our books, and I'm calling them all and getting my books back.
Oh, we won't have any friends left.
Yeah, I don't care. I want my books back. In the meantime, you start looking through the bookcases to make sure we don't have their world atlas.
But I never borrowed their atlas.
All right, let's make sure. Come on now, before Evie gets over here.
I've looked everywhere, and I can't even find our world atlas.
Well, that's up in Debbie's room. She was using it for school. But look what I found going through the bookcase.
What?
Among other things, a book, American Humorist, and inside the cover it says Charles Doty.
Chick Doty? Yes. Why, we haven't seen them for 10 years, not since they moved away.
Well, I borrowed it, and I remember borrowing it 10 years ago.
Well, you can mail it to them with a cute, funny note.
I feel terrible. And where did we get this one? Elizabeth Barrett Browning's sonnets, The Portuguese.
Isn't that yours?
No, mine's upstairs in my bookcase in the bedroom. All the poetry is. Look at the flyleaf. Do you recognize the name or the handwriting?
Brian. Love, Brian. Oh. Christmas, 1966. We don't know any Brians, do we?
No, not that I can ever read what it says.
To my darling, how much do I love thee? These sonnets will tell you better than I. All my love, dearest one, Brian.
Why, this book must have meant a great deal to somebody. How come we have it?
Well, search me.
And here's one with a printed book plate. If I'm borrowed, take me back, for I belong to Betty Black. She was a friend of mine my last year in college. Anthology of World Prose. I remember going into her room and borrowing it for a term paper I was writing.
Promising to bring it right back, of course.
Of course. I can even remember her saying, gee, I hate to let this out of my hands. It's one of my favorites.
Well, have you kept in touch with her?
No, I've no idea what happened to her. But somewhere in this wide, wide world, she thinks of me and hates me. I don't blame her either. Oh, that must be Evie. I'm there. Come on in. Hi, Evie. Come on in. I owe you an apology. We don't have your atlas, but here are three murder mysteries that belong to you, and the history of Egypt that I borrowed, all of which reminded me that I also have this cookbook, which is yours. I am eating humble pie.
Well, you better save a piece for me. Here's your Bartlett's quotation.
Oh, no.
You borrowed all these from Evie and never returned them? I can't believe it.
I can't either. I thought I was so careful about returning books. I'm just full of apologies, Evie.
So am I. You know, I decided to go through our bookcases and see what else I haven't returned.
Well, that's what I'm doing. Look at the pile I found so far.
As far as the World Atlas is concerned.
Yeah?
Yeah, well, Fred remembered that it was Richard Magruder who borrowed it.
Oh, no.
Well, he and Jeanette were looking up something in Australia, and they moved last month, so we'll never get our atlas back.
You can borrow ours.
If you girls will excuse me, I'll get back to my crossword puzzle.
Oh, that's all right. I've got to get back. Fred and I are going over the checkbook, and he's already fit to be tied because I haven't filled out my check stuff.
Oh, we go through that all the time. Here, take your book.
Oh, yeah. Thanks. I'll see you tomorrow.
My pleasure. I'll call you in the morning, and again, my apologies, Evie.
And mine.
What's the matter?
She still did not bring back my book, Tolstoy's War and Peace.
Hi, I'm Sandy Wright. In 1966, I was in a Miss Clairol commercial. Then it was, does she or doesn't she? Today, she still does. I love my hair. After 9 years, yes, 9 years of using Miss Clairol cream formula, it's in great condition. Terrific body, easy to manage, and if I have any gray, who knows?
Miss Clairol cream formula. It's the hair color professionals use. The best it can be, at any price. Look for Miss Clairol to know you're the best you can be.
Do you think all antiperspirants are basically the same? Well, ban roll-on antiperspirant may just change your mind. Take effectiveness, for instance. Tests have shown that ban roll-on antiperspirant will actually help stop wetness better than most leading sprays. Make your own test soon. Pick up a bottle of ban roll-on, and you may discover what we've shown in tests. Ban roll-on antiperspirant. Proof that not all antiperspirants are created equal. The Little Things in Life, created by Peg Lynch, has been brought to you by Ban Roll-On, America's leading roll-on antiperspirant. This program comes to you from the Radio Playhouse.
to have and to hold. The story of the traditional vows, the new morality, and the people caught in the conflict between them. Brought to you by Four-Way Nasal Spray. Gives you the fastest decongestant possible.
I was just going down to the coffee shop.
Well, this is great timing on both our parts. I was just coming to see if I could drag you away for a little talk.
Oh, anything special?
Nothing new, if that's what you mean.
Here's the elevator.
I noticed you've enlarged the visitor's lounge since I was here last.
Oh, yes. In the wisdom of the board of directors, they felt if we could not accommodate more patients, we could at least enlarge the visitor's area.
Well, that's strange reasoning.
Oh, and never question group decisions. They're impregnable.
You going to be busy later for lunch?
No, I don't think so, unless you have a plan.
I'm taking Susie to the Art Institute to see the current exhibit, and then on to lunch. So you're invited.
Well, great. By the way, I'm glad you're seeing Susie. She can use a little attention.
Because of Emily?
Yes. Susie's worried about her mother. Let's take that table, huh?
Good morning, Dr. Carter.
Hello, Mary.
The usual?
Yes, fine. And you, Anne?
I don't know. What's the usual?
Black coffee.
Well, that's awfully usual, but I'll have it, too.
There is homemade coffee cake.
Yes, I'm sure there is, Mary. Just coffee, thanks.
Right away.
Unless you wanted some, Anne.
Oh, no. Anyway, I'd like to know how you arranged to have homemade coffee cake in a hospital coffee shop.
Just call it one of those modern, everyday miracles.
Tell me about Emily. We haven't had a chance to talk.
Well, you saw her at the party. What did you think?
Jason, she didn't look good. It's hard to say.
Yes, I know. When was the last time you saw her?
Oh, let's see. I guess at least 6 months ago. What is the matter?
Well, we really don't know yet. She's had all the tests her symptoms indicate.
What are they?
Oh, sudden severe headaches, tinnitus, which is a ringing or pounding in the ears, and hardest for Emily to handle, mood changes. You know, kind of sudden bursts of temper.
Emily? Temper?
Oh, Emily can get mad, but she's always had a good reason. Well, anyway, that happened several weeks ago. Right now she's on medication, and that seems to control the headaches.
Well, I can see why you're worried about the effect on Susie. I remember when Father was sick. I was just about Susie's age, and... Oh, it's hard to handle a threat to your parents. You always feel that they'll last forever.
Betsy, where are you going?
Just to the drugstore, Mom.
What for?
I need some notebook paper.
I thought you got some last week.
Well, it goes fast.
Well, I have to do some shopping this afternoon, so I can get it for you.
Oh.
Or we can go together.
Well, I was going to meet the kids.
What kids?
From school.
Chucky and his friends?
Well, maybe. I don't know for sure.
You know how I feel about Chucky.
I sure do.
Betsy.
Well, Mom, Chucky's all right.
It's bad enough that you're exposed to boys like that at school. I don't think you should see them on the outside.
Mom, I'm 16.
That's just what I mean.
Well, lots of girls are married at 16.
And divorced at 17. Now, I don't want to hear any talk like that. What would your father say?
I didn't say I was going to get married.
Oh, Betsy, you're talking a lot of nonsense.
I just said 16 isn't so young. Aunt Cora said lots of girls used to get married at that age.
What have you been talking about with your Aunt Cora?
What it was like when she was my age, and how you were.
Oh?
She said you didn't have a lot, and your mother made your clothes. Things like that.
You should realize how lucky you are.
It doesn't sound so awful, Mom. Some of the things were fun. Like the time you picked all those wild blueberries and sold them at the roadside stand, and then you bought your mother a silver thimble.
Oh, yes, that time.
There's nothing like that to do around here. I guess that's what people mean when they talk about the good old days.
Uncle Thaddeus, can I ask you something?
Don't ask for money.
It's this cold, Unc.
Nephew, you need four-way nasal spray.
Will it help?
Use as directed, four-way provides the fastest decongestant relief possible for stuffy noses and sinuses.
Unc, that's a blast. Is it expensive?
Bah, four-way costs a darn sight less than the leading brand. You can't buy faster relief at any price.
I'm going to get some four-way.
Maybe you've got a nose for business after all.
If I had a nickel for every minute I've spent in a dirty oven, scraping and scrubbing, oh, I'd be living in Fort Knox.
Well, there's a different way to clean your oven that's less work. The overnight way, with Mr. Muscle.
Oh, come on.
It's true. With Mr. Muscle, you just spray it on at night. And while you sleep, its self-scouring foam lifts up the grease and grime.
Really?
So next morning, you just wipe clean.
Well, Mr. Muscle really sounds like a good man to wake up to.
Hey, we're going to be right next to the fountain.
I thought you'd like that.
You say it'll be three?
Oh, yes, a gentleman is joining us. Oh, there he is. Hello, Jason.
Hi, I made a mistake of taking a cab. I'm sorry, I should have walked.
Hello, Daddy.
Hi, honey. Well, hello again, Anne. Say, I've never been here before.
Oh, I think the fountain makes it so soothing.
Would you like to order a drink?
Oh, what would you like, Jason?
Just tomato juice, eh?
Susie?
I'll have that, too.
Make it three, then.
Three tomato juices.
Well, how was the exhibition?
Weird. Absolutely weird.
Oh, it was kind of fun. Soft sculpture.
Soft sculpture?
Big rag dolls, Daddy. Sort of soft and squishy looking.
They did look almost huggable.
And that's art?
Well, today, anything you want to call art is art.
Well, that beats the Emperor's new clothes trick every time.
A lot of people agree with you. And then...
Yes, I know. A lot of other people are afraid to say the Emperor has no clothes on.
Here you are. Do you want to order now?
Oh, not right away, thank you.
I'll leave the menus. Anne knows a lot of artists, Daddy.
Anne? Oh, isn't it Aunt Anne?
No, at my request, Jason. Aunt Anne sounds kind of klutzy.
I kept saying Aunt. Anyway, there was this really weird-looking guy with long hair and a ponytail and a black velvet coat and cowboy boots. Oh, and a great Indian necklace. And he's an artist, Daddy.
Well, I should hope so. He sure couldn't get into any other line of work.
He was fun. He had a nose flute.
A what?
A nose flute. From India.
Maybe a doctor can help him.
He is one of our leading artists.
Leading where?
Your father is not very avant, I'm afraid, Susie.
Well, for every avant, there has to be a derriere. Well, I didn't mean it that way.
Oh, Jason, don't spoil it.
Your aunt sounds like a lot of fun.
She is. I'm glad Anne is going to stay at River Run for a while.
What was the party like? Oh, and tell me about Curtis Rogers.
He's Marv, and he's going to teach Jen and me how to ski this winter.
He'll be your uncle?
Day after tomorrow. Jennifer's going to be the flower girl.
Bethany, I thought you were going to be doing your homework instead of waiting until the last minute.
Oh, hello, Susie.
Well, we are, Mom. Well, we're going to.
Hello, Mrs. Foster.
Right, Susie, you're all dressed up.
Oh, I went to an art exhibit and had lunch with my aunt.
Oh, Angela Fairchild?
No, Anne. Anne Baldwin.
Oh, she's out at River Run, isn't she?
Yes, she's going to be staying for a while.
You had a party there the other night?
Mm-hmm, for Curtis Rogers.
He's going to marry your Aunt Lynn.
He's going to teach Susie and Jennifer how to ski. Mom, could I?
Yes. It must have been a very happy occasion. Just for the family?
Yes, just us.
Yes, well, now you have another aunt, and soon you'll have an uncle, and then I suppose someday your Aunt Angela will get married.
Yeah, I suppose so.
Doesn't she have her own place? I mean an apartment where she lives.
Yes,
she moved back there, didn't she?
Yes, on Friday.
Friday? Friday night?
No, she took her things with her that morning. I remember because I helped put them in the car.
Your mother knew she was going?
Well, of course she did. Why do you ask, Mrs. Foster?
Oh, it's nothing. Only I was over there on Friday afternoon, and she didn't say anything about it. Not a thing.
Julie, I haven't had this in years.
Mom, you're doing fine.
Shut up, old kid.
5 minutes, Clark.
Let's sit down. We're meeting your father for dinner. How do I look?
You always look pretty.
Thanks, sweetheart.
Especially your hair. Mom, the class is starting.
Oh. Even when you can't hold up any longer, your hair can with Final Net. Final Net is not an aerosol. There's no wasteful propellant. It's concentrated to hold your hair all day. Final Net holds up longer than you do.
Hi, I'm trimming my little girl's hair. Mine was the same beautiful chestnut color once, before the grays started sneaking in. But I discovered Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It covered my grays without changing my natural color. And it has no peroxide. Loving Care made my hair shinier and softer, too. Our hair looks almost alike now. Except mine has no bubble gum in it.
Loving Care Color Lotion from Clairol. It's good for your hair.
To Have and to Hold features William Redfield as Marsh, Patricia Wheel as Angela, Larry Haynes as Jason, Joyce Gordon as Emily, Rosemary Rice as Lynn, Robert Phelps as Kurt. Also appearing were Sherita Bauer, Rita Lloyd, Ian Martin, Guy Sorrell, Vicky Vola. Produced and directed by Ernie Ricca, written by Mary Dornheim, and brought to you by Final Net, the non-aerosol hair mist that holds up longer than you do. This is Ken Roberts. This program has come to you from the Radio Playhouse, a DCA Productions program.